We will hear argument next in number 21-2352, Samsung Electronics against Dynamics. Mr. O'Quinn.
Thank you, Judge Toronto. May it please the court, John O'Quinn on behalf of Samsung. The board's decision is erroneous for three separate reasons. First, it's procedurally erroneous under the APA, failing to address Samsung's argument about combining the lesson reference and Shoemaker's teaching about swipe direction patterns. Second, it's methodologically wrong under KSR, rigidly looking for fully formed elements in a single piece of prior art and insisting that motivation be in the references themselves. And third, it is substantively wrong in view of the record evidence, which compels the conclusion that the challenge claims are obvious. Now, to take a step back, the board did not dispute that both the lesson and, for that matter, the Gutman references each have everything that the claims require except for storing a second data pattern. And a key point to understand, which the board seemed to miss, is that neither lesson nor Gutman's card will work with all card readers unless they also have a second data pattern so that they can transmit data in forms that are compatible with both swipe directions. Yes, they will transmit data without swiping, but sometimes they're going to produce a compatibility error. And that's because they transmit a single pattern or representation like A, B, C. And while some card readers can read in that order, it turns out that other card readers need to receive data in essentially the reverse pattern, like C, B, A. And that is exactly what Shoemaker teaches. And frankly, that's what we rely on Shoemaker for. Shoemaker teaches the problem that you need to have two data patterns in order to be compatible with all then existing card readers. And Shoemaker teaches the solution.
Mr. Oaken, just so I understand it, as I read Shoemaker, Shoemaker recognizes that the card that it is talking about has to be able to produce both ABC and CBA, but not to hold both of them at the same time in a memory, right? This is the on-the-fly notion. I hope that is clear, right? It's as the card is going across, whichever of the two sensors on the opposite ends of the magnetic strip that detects direction will immediately run through a circuit and tell the card what whether to do an ABC or a CBA order on that strip, right? But that's not the same thing as claimed here, which requires, in this example, both ABC and CBA to be simultaneously for the same track recorded in memory.
Yeah, that's right, Judge Toronto. I mean, if Shoemaker disclosed recording both of the patterns in memory specifically, then we might be arguing anticipation. Our argument is that it was obvious. Once you know that you need two data patterns, it was obvious to modify either lesson or, for that matter, Gutman's card in order to store both of those data patterns. And essentially, yes, you have Shoemaker teaches that you can do on the fly, but that just means that there's really essentially one of two ways that you can have present a data pattern. It's either to put it together on the fly, or it's to store it in memory where it can then be retrieved. And as this court held in Uber versus X1, where you're left with two design choices, each is an obvious combination. Now, I think the board committed a couple of errors here before we even get to that ultimate question. And obviousness is of course, ultimately a question of law, and we think the court can reverse. Methodologically, the board erred with respect to the lesson combination, in that it didn't even address this argument. It addressed
counsel, you argue here in court and throughout your briefs that the board did not address your petition argument, in particular, that was directed to the bidirectional data, right? The forward and reverse swipes.
That's correct, Chief Judge Moore.
Okay, what about on page 46 of the board's opinion, where it says, despite petitioner's citations to the personal and business profiles in Shoemaker, your first argument, and its argument that Shoemaker discloses a card emulating the same track data regardless of directionality, your second argument, we find the record does not support petitioner's contention. It seems that the board did in fact address it and expressly decided it.
So, Chief Judge Moore, I agree that the board acknowledged that we made two
arguments. No, that's not acknowledging that you made an argument. We find the record does not support petitioner's contentions.
Well, Chief Judge Moore, the board then continues to offer an explanation for its statement. And the explanation that it then provides is just addressing the profiles argument.
Yes, now, but throughout your brief, you didn't complain that the board did not provide a sufficiently articulated explanation so that you could understand the nature of its conclusions. You claimed it didn't reach any conclusions. You claimed it didn't make the findings. You claimed it ignored and disregarded the argument in its entirety. Well, you didn't make the argument that they didn't give us enough information. You claimed they didn't decide it.
So Chief Judge Moore, respectfully, I thought we essentially made both arguments.
Show me in your brief where you made an argument that insufficient, in your blue brief, where you made an argument that they decided it but didn't give a sufficient explanation so that we could follow their reasoning.
Sure. So what we argue is sort of in the alternative. The first, that the board has failed to
show me where in your brief.
Yeah, I think it's with respect to pages 30 to 31, where we say that the board's analysis falls short.
Quote me. Where? I'm on page 30.
So at the top of 31, we say the board's analysis easily falls short of that which the APA and this court's precedents require. And proceed to address how the board addressed this argument. And Chief Judge Moore, our simple point was, we think that the board is conflating the two arguments and that the board is addressing the profile argument. But I certainly agree that this is a situation where you could not, quote, reasonably discern that the board had followed the proper path, as this court explained.
You didn't make that argument, counsel. You did not. Let me take you to page 29 of your brief. The board did not address whether Schumacher's forward and reverse swipe representations, much less find the representations do not. You talk about how the board disregarded your argument. On page 2, you say the board ignored your argument and disregarded it. On page 24, you say the board overlooked your argument and disregarded it. These are your words. And yet, the opinion clearly articulates your argument in exactly the way you made it and says they do not agree with it.
So, and on page 29, we say that, quote, the board did not provide any analysis with regard to the manner in which Samsung proposed its key obviousness combination. And that for this reason, the board's decision must at least be vacated in the case.
You say that's on page 29? Where is that on page 29?
On page 29 of our blue brief. It's the beginning of the second paragraph. I mean, Chief Judge Moore, I think these arguments are very closely related. And our point was simply that the board, in its analysis, treats it and conflates the profiles with the swipe direction patterns. And that is clear if you continue on. Yes, the board has a conclusory sentence, but it then says we find insufficient persuasive evidence, and then it proceeds to address the profile issue and goes on to say, this is still on page 46, the petitioner fails to explain persuasively how the cited profiles read on the challenge claim limitations. And so I think this is a case, just like this court addressed in the Alacritech case, where the board appears to have misapprehended the party's arguments. And I know we cite that case for that specific proposition.
Does that sentence make any sense to you? Petitioner fails to explain persuasively how the cited profiles read on the challenge claim limitation because Schumacher discloses that when its card determines swipe direction, it then represents or encodes the data, yada, yada, yada. It says the data stream is always provided in the experienced order irrespective of swipe direction. Does that make sense to you in the context of the profiles argument?
It does not, Chief Judge Moore. The entire sentence doesn't.
So what if instead the word profiles were actually the word representations?
Well, so Chief Judge Moore, if the board had actually addressed the representations argument as opposed to essentially
copying from its institution decision at Appendix 306, well, then the argument that I would have in front of you about the Lessen combination would be the same argument that I have for you about the Gutman combination.
Do you agree that if the word profiles were taken out of that ultimate sentence and the word representations were put in, then the sentence would actually make sense and it would directly respond to the...
Well, respectfully, I don't. I do think that it would at least identify that the board was addressing the profile, excuse me, the representation or the patterns argument as opposed to just the
Clearly we're addressing the bidirectionality argument because they talk about it twice in the sentence.
Well, Chief Judge Moore, I mean,
I think it's three times in that same sentence. In the single sentence, they address directionality three separate times.
Yeah, I don't dispute that they make reference to it, and so that this is at a minimum, the situation that this court faced in Warsaw and in Nuvasiv, where you do not have an explanation for the board's decision. I do think, however, that when you read it in context, that what the board is doing is conflating the two arguments and therefore not actually responding to the argument that we specifically made.
That's my problem. I think the argument you specifically made throughout your blue brief is that the board didn't decide it. They didn't find anything with regard to it, and yet they clearly did. So I think the board responded to your argument. Now, perhaps, in your view, they didn't give enough of an explanation, but that's not what I understand your argument to be. I understand your argument to be they didn't decide it.
Well, respectfully, Chief Judge Moore, I think we have made both arguments in the blue brief and in the reply brief, where we have both...
The reply brief doesn't help you. And see, my problem with your reply brief is between the fact that I think that your argument on the APA focuses only on a claim the board did not decide something, which it absolutely clearly did, and amounts, as far as I'm concerned, to a dramatic misrepresentation or overstatement on your part. But in addition, you accuse the others, and then you ask us to reverse on obviousness, despite the fact that the board didn't address a whole slew of fact findings, which again, feels like a pretty dramatic overreach if we were to do that. But then you have sentences like the following. This is a single sentence in your reply brief. After setting aside Dynamics' misquotations of record evidence, mischaracterization of the board's findings, misstatement of the burden of proof, misplaced reliance on inapposite case law, the only reasonable conclusion based on the indisputable facts is that the challenged claims are obvious. Wow, you paint a picture the likes of which I've never seen. That is an enormous number of accusations hurled at Dynamics when you're asking for what amounts to a tremendous overreach of a remedy, a reversal. And if they in fact did all these things, have you reported them to the state bar? Because these would actually amount to significantly unethical things if they had done all of these things that you claim.
So Chief Judge Moore, I'm not accusing anyone of any sort of ethical violations. There is a misquotation in the red brief. We addressed that in the reply brief. I do think that in responding on...
But you also say they mischaracterized the board's findings. In fact, Mr. O'Quinn, I think it's your brief that mischaracterizes the board findings because your brief expressly and five separate occasions says the board made no findings with regard to the bidirectionality. And yet, when you look at the page I just pointed you to, they clearly made a finding. They may not have provided enough explanation for it, but they clearly did make a finding. So I think if either brief mischaracterizes the board's finding, it's in fact yours.
Well, Chief Judge Moore, certainly not my intent to mischaracterize the board's finding in our brief. Respectfully,
do you agree the board did make a finding with regard to bidirectionality?
The reason that I don't, Chief Judge Moore, is that I read the board's decision on page 46 as conflating the two issues. And so I don't read the board as actually deciding the issue that we presented vis-a-vis the Lessen combination. Now, I'm happy to point the court, of course, to the issues vis-a-vis the Gutman combination.
Did the board clearly articulate your argument on page 42 when they were explaining petitioner's contentions?
I think the board did identify that because for starters, the board addressed this argument in the context of the Gutman combination, which I think makes what the board did at page 46 all the more inexplicable.
This is the combination of Lessen and Schumacher. They say Schumacher, this is your argument, Schumacher discloses that its card can emulate the same track data in forward or reverse manner depending on swipe direction. Is that not a correct articulation of your argument?
It absolutely is, and we pointed out in our brief that it made the board's decision on page 46.
And then on page 46, they stated again, its argument that Schumacher discloses a card emulating the same track data regardless of directionality. Is that also a correct statement of your argument?
It is correct that we made an argument based on the bi-directional swiping. What I modestly disagree with, Chief Judge Moore, is that what the board then proceeds to do in reaching a conclusion is actually address that argument. And I agree that it's inexplicable because...
Wait. In the same sentence, they articulated your argument, I believe you just agreed correctly. That sentence concludes, we find the record does not support petitioner's contention. How is that not directly refuting your argument?
Chief Judge Moore, I just respectfully don't believe that sentence can be read in isolation. I think it has to be read in the context of the sentences that follow. And in the sentences that follow, the board does articulate a reasoning that has nothing to do with the swipe direction profiles, which I think, and I respect that reasonable people can disagree about this, but I take that to be the board not addressing our argument. And if you look at what the board did...
I don't think reasonable people can disagree. When the board says, we find the petitioner's comment or contentions to be without merit, I don't see how reasonable people could disagree that they're finding your contentions are without merit.
So again, Chief Judge Moore...
It properly articulated your contentions in two places in their opinion and concluded to find them without merit. I can understand your argument that perhaps they didn't explain their rationale enough, but I don't understand your argument that they didn't make a finding.
Well, I think the two arguments are essentially linked because at the end of the day, my point is that when you read that sentence and you read it in the context of the sentences that follow, it seems like the board is addressing something else. But at the end of the day, then if you think that the board actually did resolve the issue, then you would have the APA violation that we do make reference to of the board actually failing to give articulated reasoning. Now, I see I'm like well past my time.
Counsel, I would ask you to go back and read that page 4 sentence from your reply brief and never write another sentence like that in any court again.
Thank you, Chief Judge.
I know we're over time, but Mr. O'Quinn, if I could ask, if we were to reach the issue of whether the board's articulation was sufficient for us to understand their thinking, help me understand if I've got the larger context correct and which way, in your view, it would cut. It seems that in the institution decision, the board indicated that it wasn't quite persuaded it should even institute on the profiles embodiment of Schumacher. And then by the time you finish the briefing and get to the hearing in front of the board, there's really, as best as I can tell, no articulation of the argument based on the Schumacher profile embodiment in combination, at least with Lessen. Is that your understanding of how things proceeded in front of the board? And if so, does that give us any insight or an ability to more reasonably ascertain what the board was thinking in these various sections that you've been talking about?
So, Judge Stark, I do agree that some of what the board says at page 46 seems to come from language that was in its institution decision at Appendix 306. And I do think that may shed some light as to the board's procedural errors here. You're right that in our reply in front of the board, we did articulate and identify both arguments, both distinct arguments about swipe direction profiles and swipe direction patterns and profiles. But I agree that by the time of the hearing, I think most of the focus was on the swipe direction patterns. And so all of this, I think, makes the board's decision with respect to this all the more inexplicable, with the board seeming to point back to part of its analysis in the institution decision as opposed to addressing the arguments as we had, or at least articulated them. I realize that I'm well past any time. I'm happy to address the combination of the board's methodological errors with respect to the Gutman combination, because I do think that the board applied an approach.
Before you sit down, can you say, on the substance of the argument that even though Shoemaker doesn't itself teach simultaneous holding of two representations, nevertheless, it would be an obvious thing to do with lessons memory to record and store and hold the two different representations in the ABC-CBA that Shoemaker could produce. What is the evidence for that argument?
So if I understand the question, Judge Toronto, it's really why would a person of ordinary skill in the art be motivated to take the patterns that one could generate in Shoemaker, or the types of patterns that one could generate in Shoemaker and store them into memory? And I refer you to a couple of places. Our experts certainly addressed this at Appendix 722 to 723, 734 to 735. But our argument, of course, most basically here is that you don't need a single reference to teach the recited limitation. That seems to be what the board thinks at Appendix 29 to 30, saying that the Gutman does not disclose storing track data for two directions, that neither reference teaches the recited limitation. And, of course, in addition to KSR, you have cases like Ormco versus Align Tech, where the court, was even before KSR, held that a claim can be obvious even where all of the claim features are not found in the specific prior art reference. And so you don't need a single reference to disclose the storing of two patterns in memory, which, of course, is just the conventional use of memory as memory. I mean, that is, in the words of KSR, the predictable use of prior art elements according to their established functions. And so once a person of ordinary skill in the art appreciates that you actually need both patterns, our position is that it would simply be obvious to store them. Yes, they could do them on the fly, but then that just looks like the Uber versus X1 case. And that's why we respectfully submit that, given that obviousness is a question of law, the court can reverse. But at a minimum, that the court should vacate and remand.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. O'Quinn. We'll hear from Mr. Morris, and we'll restore your rebuttal time.
Thank you, Judge.
Do something like equalize. Mr. Morris.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the court. I'm Robert Morris, representing Appellee Dynamics, Inc. With regard to one of the last questions that Your Honor Tarantino asked, what's the evidence for that argument? And that was with regard to why would a person of ordinary skill in the art go there? The only place that the evidence was introduced to the PTAB was by their expert. And over and over and over again, the PTAB made factual findings that the expert's opinions were conclusory, that they were unsupported. Interestingly, at the PTAB,
Does the expert say, and I guess I'm looking at 722.23, I'm not sure if, I think that was one of the places that Mr. O'Connor referred to, maybe also 734.35, that a person of skill in the art would, in considering lesson, I guess this is the Gutman discussion, but the lesson discussion refers back to it, would want this card, the lesson or Gutman card, to be usable with the installed base of swipe card readers. And everybody knows that some of them work bidirectionally, some of them work only in one direction. Shoemaker recognizes this bidirectional problem, and so it would be obvious for somebody who wanted the lesson or Gutman card to work with the installed base to actually have in memory rather than generate on the fly both the left to right and the right to left version of whatever the reader would need.
Well, as a starting point, even if it did have it in memory, both forward and reverse, Lessen and Gutman have no way to know what direction it's being swiped. Without the swipe detectors of Gutman, once you have to take that technology also, and you have to import the swipe direction detectors, because Gutman's really clear. I put a detection director on one side and another sensor on the other side. Whichever one gets detected first, that's how I know which end of the card's being swiped. Gutman and Lessen both transmit. They transmit from outside the reader. They don't even have to be inserted into the slot. When they get close to the slot, they transmit. And so you'd have to make further modifications. You'd have to add more things to go down this path.
So how much of the initial thing I tried to describe, and then what you just said about how even that wouldn't be produced without greater effort, how much of that is recorded in the evidence that is before us on both sides?
By both sides, nothing. Virtually nothing. I mean, that's part of what happened, is the PTAB found over and over again a complete failure to provide evidence to back up even the most rudimentary claims that their expert put forth. Schumacher is about creating these tracks on the fly and never, ever, ever storing a complete track other than as it builds it and puts it out, for security reasons. Schumacher solved the problem. The PTAB and we are lost on how, if you have Schumacher, and Schumacher solves the problem of forward and reverse, why somebody would go back in time to a patent from 10 years before that and go and try to modify it in some way. And the only way to do that is hindsight reconstruction that's prohibited by KSR and who knows how many other cases. It just flat out is, because the problem's already solved. It's just that Dynamics went and they solved it in a completely different way.
Did your expert walk through the kind of thing that you've just been describing about why somebody interested with Lessen, say, in having the device... First of all, is it part of the case from the petitioner that somebody interested in with Lessen would be interested in having it work with the installed base of readers? Doesn't Lessen have a paragraph that says that?
Yes, Lessen has backward compatibility with existing readers.
Right. So, and then the expert, their expert, did or did not say somebody wanting to meet this standard under the paragraph near the end of Lessen about backward compatibility with swiping devices would want to store in Lessen's memory the two representations you need that Schumacher doesn't store in memory but generates on the fly. Does their experts say that? Is that what 722 and 23 are about? Those are Gutman paragraphs, but Lessen just says secret.
Right. Well, I don't think their expert said that about Lessen. It's kind of interesting because multiple times we asked, how did we get here? The way that we got here is because the petition flip-flops everything. The petition is centered on Gutman and Schumacher, and then at the end, it basically says, and you take a lot of the discussion that we had before that with regard to Schumacher, and you apply it to Lessen as well. And I think because of what happened at the ITC and the arguments there and the arguments that happened before the board during the oral argument.
I'm sorry, but what are we supposed to do with this little chronology story you're telling me? They've got two arguments. There's no question about forfeiting anything. So we evaluate each one on its merits.
Sure.
So who cares about how they came to shift in emphasis?
Well, I say that just with regard to the fact that you asked about their expert in Lessen, and I don't think their expert in Lessen got into it at that kind of a level. Well, their expert repeatedly made these conclusory statements. Their expert said, provided a basis for making this combination so that you would have improved commerciality. And... Both of the basis that their expert provided were rejected by the PTAB for being insufficient because they didn't provide a reasoned explanation, because their expert didn't provide a reasoned explanation. The whole concept that these are two separate arguments is also belied by their own papers.
What are two separate arguments?
The whole thing about an APA violation because they had these two separate and distinct arguments, and that somehow
I'm not actually focused on the APA violations. I'm interested in the substance of the evidence for the idea that even though Shoemaker doesn't disclose holding in memory two representations, uh-huh. but recognizes the need for
forward and reverse,
for forward and reverse, and lesson with its memory that in the substance of the evidence for the proposition that it would be obvious to combine those by storing on lessons card, forget about Gutman for now because we've really been focused on lesson, the two representations that Shoemaker recognizes it's useful to be able to have.
There's little to no evidence to support that contention that someone of a person of ordinary skill in the art would do that. And the little bit of evidence that was introduced by their expert was cited by the board as a failure, as one of at least 10 failures of evidence that I counted in their, and Samsung didn't respond to any of that in their briefs. They haven't directed your honors to a single instance where the board missed evidence that they put forward. It's an argument about a characterization of whether or not that evidence is sufficient.
I'll move beyond this in just 1 minute, but one more question which goes back to where I started. Forget for a minute about their evidence. When the petitioner said what it said in the petition, what did your expert say about the reasons that that their expert's observation on this point was insufficient? Things like here, like the sort of things that you were saying at the beginning, was think of the problems that would have to be solved or the additional complexities. Is there evidence?
I will admit that at some level, what the expert said during his deposition,
yours or theirs?
Ours.
Thank you.
It gets a little murky in my head because we were deposed for 2 days in the ITC case, and I don't want to bring in stuff from the ITC, etc. But our expert said that this issue of forward and reverse swiping, it is a tiny, tiny, tiny piece of the world. For example, if you go to a gas station and you stick a card in the reader and it pulls it in because it's a mechanized reader, that can only be done one way. If you look at Lesson's a big, fat, smart thing, and it has this little wedge on it for if you want to go and swipe it. And in that instance, even if it had forward and reverse, you couldn't shove it into the gas station's card reader. Most card readers, the vast majority of the card readers, and that's what our expert testified to, the vast majority of the card readers work forward and reverse. This is a little tiny problem. It's a little tiny problem for some specific, crazy card readers, and the reason and how it came to be.
I'm sorry, why? If most card readers work in both, mm-hmm. I see, in both directions, it wouldn't matter. I see,
that's correct. And it came up for us when we were trying to implement cards in Japan, because the Japanese rail system that sells tickets for the Japanese trains is a mechanized reader that would only take it in one direction. And that's how Dynamics actually eventually developed this invention. And Randy Rhodes, one of the inventors, was sort of a hero in the company. But if you go and you look to the petition, right? How did Samsung define what their issue is, what their central argument was? If you look at the petition at Appendix 105, which is page 24 of the petition, they talk about Shoemaker or Shoemaker, and it says Shoemaker provides a card that can emulate multiple representations of the same data found on conventional magnetic cards. That's the one issue that the board was obligated to consider. And further down on that page, Samsung says, Samsung provides two examples of that argument. And it's not my words. It's not Dynamics' words. These are Samsung's words. Samsung says, the petition says, for example, in describing that problem, and it goes on to describe the business and the personal profiles. And then the petition goes further and it says, as another example of the one problem that we're trying to deal with, right? Because the problem is that Schumacher, according to them, provides a card that emulates this. And it goes on again as another example. This is Samsung's language that now they're trying to run away from. And then on page 46...
I'm sorry, I'm missing the point you're trying to make. I'm sorry about that. I get it. Everybody, sure. Everybody agrees that there's a business profile, personal profile portion of Schumacher, and there's also the ABC CBA. So I'm just...
All I'm doing is saying, from the express language that's in the petition itself, Samsung's own language, Samsung never characterized in the petition as, we have argument A, profiles, we have argument B. It just says these are two, literally, they use the word examples of their one argument. There wasn't some big central argument that was completely missed. And it was a part of the oral argument, but over and over again, the PTAB found that the evidence that they provided was insufficient. Because none of the prior art, none of them show storing, as you astutely have pointed out, none of them show storing multiple representations of track data. And so the only place that Samsung can get that is from the PASITA, from the person of ordinary skill in the art. In Appendix 32, the PTAB expressly rejected Samsung's and their experts' teachings because they said Samsung failed to provide any explanation as to why someone would take Schumacher's teachings and try to apply them from a reference 10 years old when Schumacher already addressed that problem at hand, that Samsung failed in that regard. On page 33 of the appendix, or the final written decision, Samsung basically criticized, or the PTAB criticized Samsung for the very same thing that they're criticizing the PTAB. They said they rejected Samsung's argument and said Samsung was selecting disparate parts of the prior art in order to meet the claim limitation in contravention of KSR. Exactly what they're saying the board erred on, Samsung said they're the ones that made such an error. And they went further at the crossover from pages 33 to 34 and found that Samsung was using hindsight bias in violation of KSR as the thread to stitch together the prior art. Further down on 34, they rejected Samsung's expert testimony as being conclusory and unsupported. Samsung completely ignored that in either of their briefs. Fourth, they said, and this is what I was referring to earlier, I realize my time is up, but they rejected Samsung's experts, the basis that he provided for trying to say, well, take the forward and reverse and throw it in lesson, because on page 34, the entire basis that he put forth was that it would improve functionality and it would make it more commercially convenient. But they failed to then what was expressly disclosed in each reference, and the PTAB made a finding that Samsung failed to provide the reasoned explanation for that. So any basis that Samsung and its expert put forth to try to take the teachings and shove them into lessons, memory, were rejected by the PTAB because the only place for them to get evidence of a PASITA was from their expert, and over again, the proffers were just simply rejected for a failure of proof.
If we have to resolve the APA question, is the explanation at page 46 of Lesson and Schumacher, is it inexplicable, or can you explain to us what you think it means? And how is it addressing the bidirectional swiping environment as opposed to the business and personal profiles?
I think the best explanation for that is that if you go back further and you go through all of the different rejections that they had just made, that in essence on page 46, they're concluding that Samsung's contentions that the one problem that's defined at page 105, page 24 of the petition, that one problem that Samsung then characterizes just two examples, that the board actually looked at it as a single problem and that they rejected it. Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. O'Quinn.
Thank you, Judge Toronto. So first, with respect to Shoemaker, we consistently made two separate arguments, one involving the profiles, one involving the swipe direction patterns. And you can see in Appendix 117 in the petition that we said that the profile argument was, quote, independent of swipe direction, end quote. Now, with respect to a number of the questions that Your Honor was asking, I think there's a couple things to recognize. First, the board found that there was no impediment to storing both data patterns in memory. The board also found that there was no teaching away from storing both data patterns in memory. The board found this in Appendix 28 and Appendix 48. And so it all comes down to the board's conclusion with respect to Gutman that there was no single reference that disclosed storing both in memory. And that's the point that that Dynamics doubles down on at pages 1, 26, 29, and 40 of its red brief. And respectfully, I think that is the type of formalism that KSR rejected. I think that the question is not whether or not the references disclose fully formed claim limitations. The question is, what do the references viewed together as KSR instructs, what do the references teach? And with respect to whether there was a motivation to combine the references, I think it's hard to square the board's reasoning vis-a-vis the lesson combination with the board's reasoning vis-a-vis the Gutman combination. But the board seemed to miss what we argued in our petition, for example, at Appendix 103, that Gutman itself disclosed, which is a desire for compatibility with all existing infrastructure. That is, to be able to work with, quote, whichever type of card reader infrastructure is available at a particular location for engaging in a transaction, end quote. That's Appendix 1741. And so you have the motivation on the face of Gutman itself, and the board's explanation to the contrary is really hard to understand in light of that. And why would somebody combine these? Why would you store them in memory? Well, at the end of the day, you're ultimately left with the art disclosing two solutions. You have the arts disclosing that you can encode on the fly, but you have the art disclosing that you can use memory as memory, exactly what it's intended to be used for. And I think that means that this case falls squarely within the ambit of Uber versus X1. And so for all of these reasons, I think the board has erred methodologically under KSR. I respectfully submit that the board did err under the APA, and as we explained in pages 30 to 31 of our blue brief, yes, we read the board as not addressing our argument, but we said at page 30 that there's not an alternative reading of the final written decision that would save it, and specifically cite the language from Nuvasiv and Warsaw about failing to articulate a reasoning. And again, at page 31, we pointed out that even if you read the board differently than we did, at most the board merely partially reiterated and summarily rejected Samsung's swipe direction argument as combined with lesson without explanation. And so we submit that for any of the reasons the board erred under the APA. I appreciate the court's admonitions on all of these matters and will certainly take them to heart.
Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. The case is submitted. And that completes our proceedings for the morning.